Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Revelation, chapter number 3, Revelation, chapter number 3. Begin today by thinking about our American culture has got some kind of a fascination in our day, something about zombies. Seems to be a lot of talk about zombies, a lot of programs about zombies. A zombie is somebody that can walk, eat, and destroy, but the problem is they're dead. In 2010, the cable network AMC come out with a series called The Walking Dead, and might I just preface before I go any further, I never watched a single episode of it, but it came on and it became a hot topic. Everywhere I went, I heard people talking about it. They were addicted to it. One reason that I guess I learned as much as I did about it was the fact that our own Scott Wilson from Thomasville, Georgia, was the main character in that series. He's been back to Thomasville on several occasions. He played in other movies, but this particular one he played in was quite a hit. When he came home, they always talked about him and all that he did. But it was a series about a group of zombies, and they were after some surviving survivors, the way I understand it, that was faced increasingly difficult obstacles to overcome being destroyed by the zombies. When first released, they said the first show produced an audience of 5 million people. But wait a minute. 4 years later, in 2014, when they debuted that season, they started out with 70 million people. People is all interested in the fact of zombies, but in case you don't know it, zombies are not real. Understand today, as I've already said, I'm sure you know that, there never has been one, there never will be one, and there's no such things as zombies. Well, let me rephrase that. There's no physical zombies, but I do believe there's some spiritual zombies, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, don't turn there, but the Bible said, "In you hath he quickened who were dead in your trespasses and sin." So somebody that's dead in their trespasses and sin is somebody that's spiritually dead. They have no connection to God. I'm glad today to know that I know the Lord, and I'm glad when trials and difficulties and things come in my life, I have somebody to go to, somebody to depend on, and somebody to call. But until I got saved and until you got saved, we were dead. We was dead as a hammer as far as spiritual things, and yet we could still walk, we could still talk. We could still love some and work some and care some, have families and celebrate Christmas and worship and teach in Sunday school and attend church regularly. But in spite of all that, that doesn't make you alive. It still makes you dead in the sight of the Lord. They are devoid of spiritual life. They have no connection to God. They're completely connected with the world, and yet there's no connection with the heavenly world. Now today, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 3, and I want to share with you about the church at the city of Sardis. And the Bible said unto the angel of the church in Sardis, "Write these things, saith he that hath the spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even as Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same will be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity, the privilege is ours once again to open your word. Lord, thank you today that I pray that none of us are spiritual walking zombies, but I pray that we've been born again by the Spirit of God, and we are indwelt by that Spirit which empowers us to do the things, Lord, that you've called us to do. I pray that you would guide and direct, give me wisdom, strength, and help. Pray that your name would be exalted. And Father, we'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Now, the church at Sardis was a very important church, and God gives his view of what he thinks is going on there, not what he thinks is going on there. Might I add, what he knows is going on there. We may look at it and think, but we know when God looks at it, he knows. But literally what they did is they gave an impression of being alive. They gave an impression of being somebody that was doing the right thing, but yet in all reality, they were dead. And I believe today that our modern church, and I would pray today that nobody would be in that category here today, but I believe all across America today, there's people that are sitting in churches week in and week out that have never experienced the regenerating power of the blood of Jesus Christ and save their souls. And friend, we can go through the motions and we can look alive. And people may look at us and say, well, boy, I tell you, they love the Lord. They're good Christians. And in all reality, hope that you are, but it's quite possible that maybe we aren't. It's possible that we are dead. I want to give you three things, and I want to give them to you quicker. There's quite a few, a lot of things I'd like to say, but I want you to see how Jesus characterizes this church. He gives them, down. If you would, just skip down to the latter part of verse 1. He said, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, and thou art dead. Can I say to you today, when God passes sentence, it is all done. It's not what you think or what I think, but it's what God said. To understand the words that God has given to this church in this ancient city, Sardis was the capital city of Lydia. Sardis was founded about 1200 B.C., The original city was built on the top of a plateau, some 1,500 feet above a level there. It was up on a plateau, and there was valley below, and there was literally no way to get up there, at least it seemed to be. One day, one of the soldiers was hanging around the wall, and he dropped his helmet. When he did, it went to the bottom of the valley. He come out of the city. He went down a little path, went down to the bottom of the hill, and retrieved his helmet. Now, the only problem was the enemy had been watching them, and when they saw him go down and retrieve his helmet, they knew there had to be a way to get down and to get back up without coming in the main road. And so, again, they went and found that path. They came up, and Sardis, being complacent and full of apathy and not being alert to what was going on, they slipped up, overtook the city, and destroyed it. You see, Sardis was famous for several reasons. It was the home of Aesop, whose fables that are heard by children even to this day. Gold and silver coins were first minted in Sardis. The city was famous for industries that operated there. Carpet, wool, and dyed cloth. In fact, those were the primary products of the day. The city was famous for the industries that operated there. Their art of dyeing materials were invented at Sardis. At one time, Sardis was one of the greatest cities in the world. It reached its zenith, but yet the people became complacent with their wealth and what they had. And again, as we've already mentioned, they were overtaken and their city was destroyed. When the Romans came, Sardis was still, or it had at least accompanied and come back to being wealthy and powerful, but it was little more than a shadow of what it had been. By John's day, Sardis was mere city that it had been. The people had grown lazy, degenerate, immoral, complacent, and Sardis was dying with apathy and endurance. Sardis was proud of its past. It was proud of its reputation. Its reputation was all that they had left. But in spite of their great wealth and power, Sardis was dead. Friend, today I want to take this, and I want us to compare it to the church as it is today. I tell you today, it's easy for us to go through the motions. It's easy for us to act spiritual. It's easy for us to put a front as being spiritual. But it's another thing to really have a burning desire in our hearts to serve God and speak to our hearts as we serve Him. By the way, first of all, it does speak of reputation. He said, thou hast a name that thou livest. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about that, I'm grateful today that they did possess a name, that they lived. I hope today that we have a name around Thomasville and maybe even outside of Thomasville and maybe even around the world where we support missionaries, that we're a church that liveth. But it's one thing to have a name. It's another thing to be the church that liveth. You see, to guard our reputation as a church, we must take a stand. God intends for His people. Listen, we're not here to play church. We're not here to fulfill an hour on Sunday morning so we can go home and feel like we've done our duty. We're here to live our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be a holy people. We ought to shun evil. We ought to hate evil, even as Job did. We must be faithful to the church and to its services. We must support the work of the church through giving. We must pray for the work of the church. We must follow the pastors. He leads us in the ways of God and in the Word of God. We must be filled with the Spirit of God. We must walk in His will for His glory. In other words, we may have a name, but it may be just only a name that we liveth, but the truth is, do we live for Him the way we should? It speaks of reality. While the church looked good to everyone else, the Lord had a very different view of the church. He said, you have a name that you're alive. Everybody thinks you're doing well, but I know the truth. You're not alive at all. You're dead. In fact, that's what He said, that thou livest, but yet thou art dead. Jesus is able to say that because He is God. And to be honest with you today, I want people to know that we're a church that liveth. I want us to be a church that liveth. But really, it doesn't matter what other people think. What matters is what God thinks. And friend, today, what God thinks about what we do and how we serve Him and how we're obedient. And I'm telling you, the message I'm preaching today comes from the fact that literally with the COVID, I see things happening that I don't like seeing. I feel like there's a coldness and even a lack of interest and even apathy that's coming into the lives of many people. And thank God for those of you that are faithful. And I know some, the reason they're not, and I understand that. But friend, we can be a church that's working. We can be a church that's even witnessing. We can be a church that's giving and even preaching and worshiping. But I tell you what, we might be just like a robot that's going through the motions, just doing the duty that we think we need to do. Where's our heart when it comes to doing what God would have us to do, to being faithful to God? Friend, I'm going to tell you something today. God's been faithful to me. And I tell you today how we need to be faithful to God in everything that we do. But He said, I know that you have a name that you livest, but basically He proclaimed, thou art dead. Scientists have made great strides with robots. Robots today, in fact, you can buy all kinds of robots. We've got one that runs around our house twice a week and vacuums up the floor and the crumbs. It's a little aggravating because it's dumb sometimes and he gets a little confused, sometimes like I do. But I don't care what kind of a robot you got. You cannot program a robot to love. You can't program a robot to feel. And they can't be programmed to respond to deep emotional level. They just can't be made alive. Our computers, that computer brain way far more advanced, at least in my thinking, more advanced than my mind. But to be honest with you, there's no greater computer than the mind that God put in our head. And He did it not with the help of tech people. He did it because He's God and He's able to do it. And He's given us the opportunity to be able to think and to serve and to be faithful to Him. But the same is true of a spiritually dead person. You can go through the motions, but you can't love like y'all love. You can't feel like y'all to feel. You can't do those things that a genuine believer can do. Friend, the difference in a believer that's alive and a believer that's dead, a believer that's alive wants to please God all the time. They want to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and with all thy might. They want to love thy neighbor as thyself. And yet somebody that's dead, they may have the outward appearance, but they really don't love the way that Christ loved us. When Jesus came to the church in Sardis, He placed His finger on their pulse. And He made the assumption, He didn't make the assumption, He made the truth. And He said, thou art dead. I tell you today, people are taking temperatures, and by the way, that's something I thought about doing is getting a thermometer and putting out in the vestibule, and when you come in, just run by it and check your temperature before you come in. That might be a way that we could do something. But I want to tell you something today. We might be in sad shape if God come today and took the pulse of Victory Baptist Church. I'm grateful. Now listen, I'm not saying anything. I'm not making any accusations. I thank the Lord today for people that are involved. But I tell you, you can go through the motions of everything there is to go through and still not be redeemed and be made alive. The church of Sardis was filled with people that was unredeemed. You know, it never ceases to amaze me, but as long as I've been pastoring, from time to time, people that's been in church for years get saved. You said, how can that be? It's because they never got saved, and one day they realized they were dead. And they come to the realization of it, and I'm going to tell you, that's nothing to be ashamed of. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. It's nothing to have too much pride to get it settled and get right with God. I tell people all the time, if you don't know you're saved and on your way to heaven, you need to get it settled right now, and you can in just a moment. It just doesn't take long at all. But yet the church at Sardis was filled with people unredeemed. The church was characterized by inward decay. The church was populated by dead people who were merely playing church. And I'm not talking about just our church. I'm talking about churches all over the world today. I believe our churches literally are filled with people that are just going through the motions, trying to do enough where it looks good and do enough to where they think they can appease God. The only thing that will appease God is for us to live a life of holiness, serving Him, being faithful to Him, and doing what He would have us to do all the time, and showing the love that we have for Him. It's kind of like going to a museum, and maybe you see some stuffed animals, and boy, they look natural. I sometimes go to Bass Pro. I love to walk through there and look at all the stuffed animals and stuff. I mean, they're real animals, but they're stuffed. But you know what? They're dead. Thank goodness they are. I wouldn't be walking through there if they wasn't. But they can't move. They can't eat. They can't do nothing. You know what they are? They just for show. And I tell you today, there's little more than a museum in some churches today that have stuffed saints in their natural settings going through the formalities of worship. And by the way, the Bible says in the last days, people having the form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Friend, you can play church, but at the end of the road, you better be sure that you know that you're saved. In many places, the church has become more like the museum of the past. Just so you know, our churches are not deceiving Him either. Friend, you may think you're deceived. You may deceive your spouse. You may deceive the preacher. And you may deceive the people around about you. But you can't deceive God. What are the signs that a church is dying? A church is dying when it rests on its past accomplishments and is satisfied with its present state. I believe today, if we're not careful, and we've had a little success, God's blessed us along the way. But I'm telling you, God's not finished with us yet because we're still here. Another sign, it's more concerned about rituals and formalities than true spirituality. It's more concerned with material growth than it is spiritual growth. It's more concerned with pleasing men than it is with pleasing God. It clings more tightly to the man-made creed than it does to the Word of God. It loses its conviction that the Bible is the Word of God. And when those things happen, we begin to see the church die. How do we know when the church is alive? When do we see and know that the church is alive? First of all, there will be growth. I believe today that the church is a living organism. I believe God saved us and called us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said in Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Friend, I'm telling you, God called us to be witnesses, and the church ought to be constantly and consistently growing. I know we don't see it like it has in the past, but God's still God. God is still able to do through us what we are willing to allow Him to do through us, if we'll be faithful to Him and serving Him in any possible way that we can. So today we know that church that is alive will show growth. A church that is alive, there will be harmony. When a physical body develops problems, it becomes disharmony. I think about people that perhaps, and there's a lot of people today that have a lot of aches and pains and all kind of things that go on. And what happens is, it's just like my back. It don't have harmony with the rest of my body right now. But I tell you, the church, when it's alive, there'll be harmony among God's people. Not so much about what color carpet we have. Not so much about what color we paint the walls or what we put in the bathrooms. But so much harmony about the fact that we're all in agreement that we have one job, one responsibility, and that is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world in order that they might be saved. Not only will there be harmony, but there will be emotion. Another, I believe, indication of a physical realm is emotion. I'm still alive. I can feel, I can laugh, I can cry, I know pain, I experience joy. My emotions prove that I'm alive. When a physical body dies, one of the clearest indications is total lack of emotion. If a church is filled with living saints, that church will be an emotional church. Now, when I mean that, there will be occasions when we'll laugh together, weep together, shout together, sing together, hurt together, pray together. In other words, when there's life, there will be emotion. I tell you today, I got the text from Ms. Herndon this morning, and I tell you immediately, my heart just kind of went out and sunk as I heard her talking about the problem that she's having. You know why? Because she's my sister in Christ, and we're saved and alive. It makes a difference. You see, when a church is alive, there'll be harmony, there'll be emotion, there'll be motion. And when there's life in the church, there'll be motion. Now, what happened is Jesus is speaking to a church, Sardis, that he had adapted the temperature of the city of Sardis. But what God wants is us to be thermometers that determine the temperature of the city around us in order that we might set an example for Him. Sardis was complacent and apathetic. Sardis was content. Sardis had no desire for moving, changing, growing, working, or anything else. This church literally crawled upon its pews and died. If it's not conscious of the situation, the church will die. And I tell you, I'm afraid we get to the point where, and again, I'm not saying, I hope our church, listen, I make no accusations, have no thoughts in my mind of anybody. I tell you today, I just know the importance of knowing Christ. But I think today how we need to be careful that we don't get so content that we think everything's all right. We used to sing a little chorus. It called "Everything's All Right in My Father's House." And I tell you, it's a great to be able to sing that song, but we better look around and be sure everything's all right in the Father's house. We become unconscious of the situation. The church can do the same. One can attend a church and find all the trappings of Christianity. There'll be singing, praying, preaching, everything else that people expect to find in church, but it might be carried on by dead people. There might be a religious activity, but there'll be no spiritual life. A church like that is deceptive as a dead star. The light appears to be there, but the fire burned out a long time ago. The church may have a reputation, it may have a history, it may have a name, but it can all be a sham, devoid of spiritual life, power, and influence. Does a church like that know the kind of shape it's in? Probably not. Most times the church don't realize that they're dead. They think everything's all right. Kind of like Samson. You remember Samson? The story of Samson, the cutting of his hair, the losing of his power. He made a statement and he said, "And he wist not that the Lord had departed from him." I tell you today, that's sad, but there's churches can come and sing about Jesus, but wist not that the power of the Lord has departed from them. This is a horrible characterization, but it's a true condition of a church called Sardis. How the Lord characterizes the church quickly, how a church challenges the church. He challenges us by revival. Notice, if you would, he goes on down in verse number 2. Look what he said. He said, be watchful. It's wonderful today that he said, be watchful. We're not simply to go with the flow. We're to stand for what is right. We're to stand against evil, confront sin, openly love the Lord, and there'll be a change that can come about. Just today, as we need encouragement, it's time for the people of God that we wake up to the reality of the situation. Quit going through the motions, but understand today, we need God's power like we've never experienced it before. There's little to manifest the presence of God. There's little Holy Ghost conviction. There's little desire for holiness. There's little love for the gospel. There's little burden for souls. There's little love for the church as everything else in life. You know, I said this, and I believe it, and I don't believe it about all churches at all. But I'll be honest with you. I think some churches welcomed this COVID thing. I'm not trying to be ugly, but I think a lot of them kind of enjoyed the break. But friend, a church that's alive would never enjoy being away from God, away from the things of God. And I tell you today, it's so important that we understand that. But yet, I feel like, and as I think about it, we've got to do what we need to do. And I surely don't condemn anybody. They have to do what they need to do. We'll do what we need to do. But I'm going to tell you something today. God needs to be at the forefront of everything we do on a consistent basis. He gives us the encouragement for revival. Be watchful. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Don't let COVID discourage you. Don't let it get you down. Don't let it destroy you. Don't let the things of our society that's going on, don't let that hinder us. Listen today, my faith is not in the government. My faith is in God. And today I've got to turn my eyes upon Jesus and look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim the light of His glory and grace. We must identify the spiritual essentials. We must have compassion for the dying souls. We must be genuine about our belief in the Bible and the Word of God. And we need the love of Jesus that He had in order that we might serve Him. We find if we do not know Jesus, don't step up and make a difference. What we do, we quickly die and it will be gone forever. Then there's a challenge to remembrance. He said, remember. Well, let me find it. Verse 3. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast. The Lord has called us back to the basics of faith. He is calling them back to the simplicity of the gospel. He's calling them to reaffirm their faith in God. He's calling them to depend upon His power and His influence. He's calling upon them to be filled with the Spirit of God. He's commanding them to get back to the basics from which they started. Have we forgotten how much we've been taught about God, about the truth, about Jesus, about the gospel, about sin, about heaven, about hell, about life, about death, about holiness, and all the other things we've had? We've gotten used to literally spiritual deadness. And we're moving through our worship services a couple of times a week. And we even bother to come in. We've forgotten the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. But then there's a challenge to retention. And I move quickly. But he said, remember therefore as thou hast received and heard, and hold fast. Once they return to the place, they can remember the work of the Spirit of the Word of God and keep those things there, to hold on to them with all their might, so that what they have does not slip through their fingers. We're in an era today that I believe churches are dying fast. In fact, I go to Preacher's Fellowship, and hardly ever do I go that somebody don't say, another church without a pastor, another church just closed down, another church just shut the doors. You see, I agree some old ways do need to die, but there's some that don't, and truth don't need to die. The gospel don't need to die. Holiness don't need to die. Righteousness don't need to die. Witnessing don't need to die. Preaching the Word of God don't need to die. The Word of God and the power of the Spirit of God doesn't deserve to die. And the respect for God and His house do not need to die. You see, our parents' generation can't hold those things for us. My parents are gone, and many of yours are. But I tell you, they held fast to the truth of the Word of God, and now they're gone. So where does it lie? It lies on us. And where will it lie after us? The next generation of our children to follow, and their children, and their children. And the truth of it is today, they have got to make up their own minds that they're going to be alive and well and serving God and faithful in all that they do. The preachers from the past that we think about can't help us today. I tell you today, I was thinking the other day, and I listen sometimes to some of the old saints, Dr. Robertson, John R. Rice, guys that used to preach the truth of the Word of God. They're not here no more, and be honest with you, men like them are few and far between. And yet today, they can't help us. We've got to help ourselves. The things of God are in our hand. Our job is to ensure that we can keep those things that we have. There's something to pass down to our children. There's a challenge to repent. In fact, he goes on and said, hold fast and repent. They repent of their apathy. Repent of their complacency. Repent of their idolatry. Repent of allowing their lives, their work, their business, their families, their prosperity to come before God. They needed to repent of their forgetfulness, their waywardness, their deadness, and all of the sins for which they were guilty. What does repentance mean? It means we need to rediscover what we had in the past, to get honest about our condition, confess our sins, forsake our sins, to seek the Lord and His forgiveness. Revelation 3:3, if therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Jesus characterizes the church. Jesus challenges the church. But verse 4 and 5, Jesus comforts the church. Listen at this. Now, boy, this has been a hard message. And you think about it, and we talk about where we're at. But then he's preached a hard message to the church at Sardis. But then look what he closes with. He said, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. Thank God for the remnant that haven't defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. You see, Jesus promises the faithful members of the church that they'll be clothed in white someday. There'll be a day when they'll be made pure and victorious. There's people that have refused to defile, kind of like Daniel. He refused to bow, bend, or burn. He put his trust in the Lord. Not going to read it, but I believe this is referring to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You can find that in Revelation 19, verse 5 through 9. But one day, the true saints of God will leave this world of sin, sorrow, and suffering. And we'll go to be with the Lord in glory. We'll join our Redeemer, the one that died for our sin. He speaks of our reassurance. He said that he will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. That does not mean that he does not blot out the names of others. He's simply saying that he's just not going to blot out the names of those who have not defiled themselves, that have truly been born again, and have lived a life pleasing to him. They will remain forever. When they arrive in heaven, they'll be admitted because they're saved. And by the way, that's the only ticket into heaven, is to know you're saved and trusted Christ. There's a reminder today, if we're saved, we're safe. You might live in the midst of moral decay and spiritual death in the world, but these things cannot corrupt your relationship with God. He'll keep you. He'll protect you. He'll take you home to be with him someday. And I tell you, that's the kind of assurance that we need from time to time. I'm grateful today. And again, it's quite a comparison. But to be honest with you, it's possible to be dead, but appear to be alive. And I tell you today, just know for sure that you're alive, that you put your faith and trust in the Lord. And then if you have, and I would say that this is the way it is more than anything. I think what happens is we as Christians, we're alive, but we've lost the zeal that we once had. We've cooled down to the point that we're not what we used to be. And I tell you, we need to get back to the place we used to be in order that God might use us for His honor and His glory. I think about today, when God says you're dead, you're dead. And friend, we need to understand today, many of us thank God I know today that I'm saved, but many today are dead in their trespass and sin. How's your emotions? How's your love? How's your zeal? Just check it up and be sure that you have a desire to be faithful to God. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together. And Lord, today, a passage of Scripture talking about the church of Sardis. He said, you had a good name, a name that you livest. But he said, I can tell you, you may have a name, but you're dead. So many times, we as Christians get to the point where we lose that power, desire, love that we once had. And then, Lord, sometimes we have to examine ourselves to be sure that we're in the faith. And I pray today, Lord, that you'd help us. I pray that you'd guide and direct us, give us wisdom, strength, and help. I pray today that your name would be a name in our life that would be above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Bless now this invitation, we pray. We'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.